Hello, and welcome to Above the Laughs, the podcast that takes place above the world-famous Laugh Factory in Chicago. I'm your host, Matt Chiaramonte. Today, I had the honor of sitting down with Jamie Masada. Jamie's the owner and founder of the Laugh Factory. He started the club in L.A. when he was 16. Richard Pryor was the first person to ever perform there, and the Laugh Factory has grown into a comedy institution. Jamie's an incredibly interesting person. He's responsible for discovering tons of now famous comedians, and he has some truly amazing stories. It was an honor to talk to him. Wise, he's very wise. It's really the only word I can think of to use. Everything he says sounds like it should be written in a fancy font and framed in an important room somewhere. I very much enjoyed our talk. I hope you do too. So please give a listen to Jamie Masada. Introduction, and we'll kick it right off. All right, this is Above the Laughs. We're in an office above Laugh Factory Chicago. My name is Matt Chiaramonte, and I'm sitting down with Jamie Masada, the founder and owner of Laugh Factory. Thanks for agreeing to talk to me, Jamie.
You're welcome, buddy. You're welcome.
This is great. Let's just jump right in. I know you're very busy. I don't want to take too much of your time.
Please.
First of all, thanks for, you know, visiting our Chicago club, and it's like there's a blizzard going on outside.
I love Chicago. I think Chicago is the greatest city in town in the world, in the country, and the people, actually, the most funnest people and genuine people. Actually, they were interviewing me in that New York City.
Yeah.
And I told people in New York, I'm going to Chicago. They said, why are you going to Chicago? I said, I'm going to Chicago because Chicago is almost like New York, but without attitude. People, they don't have the New York attitude. They're
right.
All friendly. They are wonderful people. That's the reason we decided to come to Chicago, because Tom Dreesen, few people, they came to me. They told me about Chicago. Coming to Chicago. I said, all right, we're coming to Chicago. Visit Chicago. I fall in love with Chicago. I said, I want to come in. Open a club in here. I'm glad we are here and making this town become my home, because I love the city.
Well, we are, you know, Chicago is happy to have, you know, Laugh Factory as, you know, part of its comedy, you know, landscape. You're kind of, you know, well known as being able to identify talent. Kind of like gotten that reputation over the years. So with finding when you look at a young comic, is there something specific that you look for, or is it just kind of a thing that you can just tell?
So overall, you know, you're looking at the delivery, material, their passion, their likability, what kind of likability they have.
Right.
You know, the people, they really, some people that they turn me off is actually the actors. They want to be a comedian because get themselves known around people. And people, they say, oh, it's a shortcut to become an actor.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of people, I really don't. Because comedian, they have a passion. The comedian, they are, you know, genuine comedian. They are, have a really, really caring about human being. And that's the reason I usually go to any radio station or anywhere I go. I call comedian, they are the doctor of the soul. You know, and they come, they let you forget about your problem, everything in the world. And that's, to me, is, you know, there's not too many people. Richard Pryor was my first comedian, Don Rodney Dangerfield, George Carlin. I mean, I could name few of the comics that I know through the life. They were genuinely comic. They were genuinely, they care about their audience. They cared about people, making people laugh. They cared about how the audience felt.
Right.
But then some of the new people that come up in the business that I find them, like special, the people they shortcutting, they become an actor.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to improv classes, I'm becoming an actor. I bought a few jokes from a comedian, I'm putting my act together, I'm going to go on the stage, try to be the comedian. Those type of people. is not, I mean, they get laughed because they're actor, they deliver a good job, but they are not really genuinely care about audience.
Interesting. Do you think that that times have changed in the comedy world, where do you think there's comics that are making it today that perhaps like wouldn't have been able to make it back in like the late 70s, early 80s? Do you think that like it's easier or harder to get a name in stand-up?
I think it's, you know, I personally think, you know, if you're passionate about whatever you do,
mm-hmm.
and if you have the passion, no matter what was 20 years ago or the time I started the club was 34 years ago.
Right.
You know, if you had a really genuinely passion about making people laugh, genuinely cared about everything what you were doing,
mm-hmm.
I believe this, my philosophy, creams always rise to the top. If you are good, somebody's going to discover you. And it doesn't have to be in a club. It doesn't have to be anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
I had people that auditioned for me in the middle of a restaurant. They stood up on the table after they finished their set.
Really?
The owners, they called the police. By the time the police they came in, they arrest them.
Yeah.
And but I saw them. I saw their passion.
Yeah.
You know, and people, you know, that you have a passion, you have a drive. That's the most important thing. And you have to really genuinely care about your audience. You got to realize you have responsibility. The time you're on the stage, the people that come there, doesn't make any difference. They pay or not pay, whatever they do.
Mm-hmm.
They are there. Their most important thing, they came up there to forget about their problems and they forget about their stress and all kind of stuff, because today world we have so much people with economy be so bad, have with unemployment, with everything, the people they want to go somewhere to try to forget about their problem, and the time they go to a comedy clubs they're hoping they forget about their problem, their stuff, they cause them a lot of stress for an hour, 2 hours, they forget mm-hmm. about that. That's the most important thing, I think, is
Wow, that's great. How do you feel about the future of stand-up, especially with the way internet and cell phones are affecting stand-up comedy? People are recording sets or blogging about things they see on stage, like what happened with Tosh, or with even with Michael Richards. Like when those things happen, you know, at your club, like how do you kind of decide between, you know, letting the audience, you know, evolve and do what they want to do, and I don't know, protecting the comics?
I think the protecting comics is very important, because the stage, I think, is part of their, you know, a comedian, that them, they are on the stage, they are in the stage, you spoke, but like people that go in the church,
mm-hmm.
they can say whatever they want to say on the church.
Mm-hmm.
Comedian, they get on the stage, that's part of their territory, they can say whatever they want to do. And you see people today, they get their organization, they become very sensitive. I find out the people, they became more sensitive since the September 11th.
Sure.
People, they became more sensitive. I mean, I had the other night a guy came in a club and he was very, very big, I would say extremely big.
Yeah.
And he took almost 3 seats to sit.
Oh, wow.
And he went sat on this in front of the stage.
Yeah.
And comedian asked him, he said, well, are you, you know, did you pay for 3 seats?
Yeah.
You know, the gentleman, he said to the comedian, well, you can't make fun of me because I have food disorder. And I retain a lot of water.
Yeah.
And the comedian at that point, he said, well, I don't think so. You retain a lot of water, you retain a lot of pizza. And people, they start laughing.
Yeah.
And the guy got up and he came by in the lobby. He said, well, I'm going to try to organize. You cannot talk about fat people like that. You cannot. I said, you come to the club, you come to comedy club, you got to be open for anybody, whatever they do, you got to take it. It's just part of, you know, part of the business. It is comedy. Is you cannot, you know, you know, the people like Lenny Bruce, like Richard Pryor, like a lot of people, they work so hard. Lenny Bruce went to jail to pave the road for people they can go on the stage. George Carlin got almost arrested a couple of times because of they paved the road for everybody. Today you could go on the stage, say whatever you want to say.
Yeah.
But going on the stage and not being able to express yourself is you taking the rights of comic away. Comedian, they have to be able to express. I mean, some of us, we might not like what they say.
Right.
I mean, you go to a church, a preacher, they might say something about whatever. And they talk about gay marriage, whatever. They say, this is sin, whatever they say. But the same token, you have to be, if you don't like it, you walk away.
Right.
And it's the same thing. Nobody told you to come listen to this comic. Mm-hmm. If you don't like it, I mean, if you don't like the comic, you come to the post office, box office, and you said you want your money back. We give you your money back.
Mm-hmm.
That's no problem. But the only time I really got a little bit of upset, one time in my life I got upset, it was the time Michael Richard was on the stage. Michael
right.
Richard, the time he said what he said, it was a little bit coming from hatred.
Yeah. For people who don't know, he got angry at an audience member.
Yeah,
African American.
Yeah, it was an African American. And at that point, I felt like I'm opening a club to bring joy to people's face.
Mm-hmm.
I have obligation in it. I didn't open the club to promote some kind of negativity.
Right.
So I went by the door, I gave every single person they were living, I gave them their money back.
Mm-hmm.
I said, here's your money. I gave them all of their money back. Because I don't promote that. Laugh Factory does not promote that. Laugh Factory want to bring joy to people's face. Laugh Factory, you know, through the years, you know, I learned our mission is to really be able people, they want to get away from their problems, they come to the club. And, you know, and I have a tremendous respect for comedian. I think comedian, they are what you call it, again, as I said to you, they're most giving, most caring people. And they are, you know, that's, again, that's, I keep telling them everywhere I go, I call them doctor of the soul. And at the same time, if you're looking at it, you know, what's the rarest business to be in is a stand-up comedy. I mean, in the whole world,
mm-hmm.
it's not 8 billion, but it's 7.5 billion people in the whole world. You know how many really great comic making people laugh?
Not a lot. No.
In the world, world renowned comedian that really they're making people enjoy themselves.
Right.
And then you realize every 100 million people is one comedian.
Yeah.
Is one of the rarest professional in the world. And people, they have to, you, whoever does stand-up comedy, whoever want to do stand-up comedy, they have to realize they are getting in one of the rarest professional in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the time, for example, gesture, they were around 500,000 years ago.
Right.
And those gestures, there was one in every country.
Mm-hmm.
And they would tell jokes to the kings and the queens,
right.
whatever. And if they told bad jokes, they would be headed. And you know, again, a comedian, they are one of the greatest gift you have. And you're in a professional, very, very rare, and you have to put your time in if you want to be a doctor.
Yeah.
You know, to help people, to cure people, you got to go to 8 years of school. You got to put your time in. And if you want to be a good comedian, you got to put your time in, and you got to put your energy in, and work hard at your professional to be what you want to do.
Excellent. Great. You know, I really appreciate you sitting down and talking with me.
Thank you.
You know, you've done a lot of great things for comedy and for comedians, and you're a great philanthropist. And so thank you so much for
you're
sitting
welcome.
Down.
You're welcome. I mean, if I didn't have a bunch of stuff to do, I'd talk longer.
Sure, yeah. We'd
but
love
we
to
do
you
it again.
Sometime.
Yeah,
yeah.
We do it again.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Jamie.
Thank
I really
you,
appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening to my talk with Jamie Misada. I hope to have him back again soon. I could listen to him talk for hours. In the meantime, please enjoy all the other episodes of Above the Laughs, and join us next time when we talk to somebody else in the comedy world. Who knows? It could be you. It's probably not you. Have a nice day. That's my catchphrase.